Welcome to Spiritual Warfare and How the Devil is Collecting Souls. Hi, my name is Teresa. Today I will be reading from the book Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table by Lou Giglio. Kay will not be joining me today. I will meet up with her again next week. Our schedules have just been crazy and we haven't been able to get together. But I do want to read a few things that we went over in church last week. Joyful. Signs of joy. Philippians 1:18 through 30. Discover courage. Desire heaven at the end of your journey, though we don't know when the end of our journey is, so the sooner the better. Dutifully endure. Devote yourself to a worthy life. Standing firm in unity, working together. If you see somebody in need, just lend a helping hand. Striving for the faith of the gospel. Speaking without fear. If you know God is talking to you and you just something comes to your mind and you're speaking with somebody, but you're afraid to say what he's telling you to say, he will give you the strength and prepare that person's heart as well. That used to scare me when I used to witness, until I learned that God plants and waters all these seeds in people, and then he brings his children into their life at different seasons. And just by you saying something that doesn't even make sense to you, but God is telling you to say it, it's for a reason. So I'm going to start out in chapter 4, Deadly Lies Exposed. I grew up in a big church in downtown Atlanta when I was 12. I remember being in our 7th grade boys' Sunday school room. Tan linoleum floor, cinder block walls, also tan, metal folding chairs, maps of Paul's missionary journeys on the wall. A window with blinds always closed, and on the far wall, a big painting of the meek and mild Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? His face was pale. He looked like he hadn't been outside in a long time. His robe was perfect. His hair was perfect. He had a woolly lamb on his shoulders and a crook in his hand. And Jesus was gazing off into Foreverland with a faraway look in his eyes. But Ola Mills Portrait Studios, Jesus is nothing like the real thing. He's your hero. He's your defender. He's the mighty Son of God. When you are up against life and death, when your back's against the wall, when your circumstances are poised to take you out, and when the devil is whispering lies in your ear, you need to know there's an all-powerful good shepherd with a rod in one hand and a staff in the other. That's the Jesus of Psalm 23. That's why we find comfort in his presence. With that staff, the good shepherd can grab you and pull you to safety. And with the rod, he can crush any prowling lion or raging bear that charges towards you. King David wrote Psalm 23. Had taken on a lion and a bear, pounded them in the ground, 1 Samuel 17:34 through 36. David understood what God said when he promised to be with us through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus is there in the midst of the pressure with us, and he's not just standing around with his hands in his pockets. He's there to rescue us when necessary, to protect us at all costs, and to fill our cups to overflowing. We don't need to watch over our shoulders anymore. God prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemies. That just blows my mind. Jesus is watching them, guarding us so we can keep our attention fully fixed on the face of the Good Shepherd, Jesus, our Savior. Yet, as I mentioned, it's strategic to be able to spot the enemy's lies. Not one of you can focus on the lies, but you can avoid them and fix your gaze back toward the Good Shepherd. When you are able to spot the following lies that are coming from your direction, you can overcome them and win the battle for your mind with the truth in Jesus' name. The lie of comparison. First, if you've heard recently that it's better at another table, then you can be certain the enemy is at your table. Jesus' table, the one he prepares for you, is about life and life abundantly, John 10:10. Any table other than God's table is about stealing, killing, and destroying. When the devil sits at your table, he often points to another table and talks about how amazing it is to be somewhere else. He points to a place that's not the table where God is and says, "That over there, that's the solution to your problem." See, the devil is the worst kind of salesman. He tells you exactly what you want to hear and shows you exactly what you think you're looking for. He doesn't come to the table and announce to you that he's going to kill you. He comes to the table with an offer to seduce you. But ultimately, he's not selling you the truth. He's not selling you life. No, he's telling you lies. He's selling you death. Woven into the devil's pitch that it's better at another table is trickery of comparison. The devil always tells you that there's a better table somewhere else. Surely, you should leave your spouse and hook up with someone else. Life is better there, right? That's the solution to all your problems. If you could just be with somebody else, surely you should run with that other crowd, the crowd that's not sitting at the table with the Almighty God. If you could just abandon all you know to be true and go do your own thing for a season, that's going to be what you want. Surely at another table, a table without fellowship with God, there's more life, more food, more satisfaction, more joy, more of what you're looking for. He tempts us in so, so many ways. Please be careful and look out for this. Don't give in to that lie. The devil loves for you to look at your life and compare it with somebody else's so you wish you had what they had. He'll mix in a little jealousy and sift in a little coveting and add a dash of woe is me and throw in a few lines about how God must love that person more than he loves you. Or about how God is blessing that person more than he's blessing you. Or about how surely God has withheld something you need. Pretty soon, the devil has you convinced that God isn't good. God hasn't blessed you. God doesn't love you. He missed out on something. You missed out on something good because God is mean or God forgot about you or God's been lying to you all the time. I know I've seen people who don't get their way and they walk away from God sometimes forever and they never go back. That is Satan pulling the wool over your eyes, telling you lies, and making it seem like the situation is this way instead of actually the right way or the way it is. We call this the grass is always greener syndrome. If you're not firmly seated at the table with the Almighty, if your eyes are not locked on those of the Good Shepherd, then you're distracted by the tyranny of comparison. Scanning their horizon around you, what do you see? Bob has a better position in the company. Cutting a few corners has worked out for him. That's why he's driving the new ride and you're struggling to buy your teenager a decent car. That's why he and his wife just added that fancy pool at their house and the rock waterfall in their backyard. Or look at Jasmine. Every post on her accounts is perfect. Her kids, their vacation, her little she shed, her husband Ronnie built behind their house, the she shed. I was talking about that today in church. Kurt, the guy you met at the gym, finally ditched his wife and dysfunctionally family and got detangled from his crazy mother-in-law and is living in Sonoma with a new chick. He seems so carefree and happy. Anita quit the church. and her entry-level job at the wireless phone company and is doing the RV in Utah. No responsibilities, no commitments, no baggage. The enemy masterfully paints an inviting picture of freedom. It's over there, where the grass is always greener. These thoughts that you can shirk commitments and have it your way don't come from Jesus. He comes to give life and to give it to the full. Are you moving away from what you know is right and good? And you're reading these words. Are you thinking about bailing on what you've committed to? Are you close to doing something that you know is very contrary to God's best? And sometimes that's in relationships, unequally yoked. Think twice before you do that, because you will live a miserable life if you are if you purposely go into a relationship unevenly yoked. It will not work out. And if you're going to wait and think God's going to bring him around, that doesn't always happen. You will not be happy because you are constantly going to be praying for him. His life will bring you down. It will bring you sadness. And sometimes you'll walk away from God to live in his life because you won't want him to leave you. There's just so many roads, bad roads, that could go down. So please think twice before that. Are you close to doing something that you know is contrary to God's best? Something you know you'll regret? Or have you already made the jump away from Jesus and you're quickly discovering that the greener grass is less than you bargained for? If so, the enemy is at your table. But you don't have to live this way. Jesus is calling you back to his table, to your table for two. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. And this is something that blows my mind too, that God forgives us so many times. We can walk away, even if you walk away for a couple years, he always welcomes you back. Praise the Lord for that. The lie that you're doomed. Second, if you bought the lie that you're not going to make it, the enemy is at your table. This voice tells you that life is hopeless. There's no way out. May as well just chuck it all, quit, and die. So often when we are asked how things are going, we reply with answers like, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this season. I'm not sure if I'm going to survive the semester. I don't know if I'm going to get through this time. Have you ever heard yourself saying something like that? Where did you get that kind of thinking? Where did you hear those words of gloom and doubt? Not from your good shepherd. You likely heard them from an enemy at your table. And I'm here to tell you, if you're in school and you need help and you invite the Holy Spirit to come down and help you with your homework, he'll do that. And he will bring things back to your mind. So don't listen to the enemy about that either, because like it says, those aren't from the good shepherd. They are from the enemy, and the good shepherd will get you through your schooling. He'll get you through your exams. He'll give you the help and the strength that you need. See, your God has just told you that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't need to fear any evil. Did you catch the operative word in this sentence? Through. Your shepherd didn't just say, you're going to the valley. He said, you are going through the valley. In other words, you are going to make it. That's even though I will. Faith being developed in you. Even though times are tough, God's rod and staff, they are with you. Even though times are hard, you're not alone. God knows you're going through a hard time. He knows the way is dark. He hasn't promised to deliver you from the trouble. He promised to see you through the trouble. There's a big difference. You will not find the good shepherd telling you that you're not going to make it. You will never find the good shepherd telling you that life is hopeless and there's no way out. Why not chuck it all, quit and die? That is not the voice of the good shepherd. The good shepherd says, we're going through this valley and I'm going to be with you all the way through. And guess what? We're going to have a story to tell when we get to the other side. This is how God delivered his people from the bondage in Egypt. He didn't build a bridge over the Red Sea. He parted the sea so they could walk through it. Oftentimes, God's plan is not to build a bridge over troubled waters. Instead, his miracle plan is to give you the grace and the power to miraculously go through the troubled waters. Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. Psalm 77:19. You're going through whatever circumstances you're currently in, and your shepherd is going through it with you. It's so easy to want to rewrite Psalm 23. So it says, we sit at the table in God's presence only and not in the presence of our enemies too. Christians talk about how they love the presence of God and long for the presence of God. And they pray things like, Lord, would you just be with us today? But guess what? God has already answered that prayer with a yes. Do you realize about yourselves that Jesus Christ, he's in you? The Apostle Paul asks in 2 Corinthians 13:5, we have an incarnational theology, which means that Jesus lives in us. There are moments when we sense that God is around us in special or supernatural ways, but we don't need to bank on the cloud or the fire that God's people saw manifested in the days of old. Interestingly, there's one verse in the New Testament that encourages us to seek or to celebrate the presence of God. Why? Because God is now made visible, and for 33 years, God was in human skin. He was tangible in and through the person of Jesus, who now lives in us through the Spirit. I no longer seek the presence of Jesus. I seek the person of Jesus. I'm not after the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want the person of the Holy Spirit and his power. I'm not calling on the presence of God. I have God, Father, Son, and Spirit living in me. And God promises he is with us in the presence of our enemies. Jesus is at the table with us in the fire, in the hardship, in the feelings of hopelessness, in the broken world. God doesn't eliminate all of our difficulties. He allows us to walk through hardships, and he walks through those hardships with us. Have you ever believed the lie that you're hopeless? You're not hopeless. Jesus lives in you. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. I will see you next week.